I am going to have to cut it down to a couple of hours because there's been a lot going on. And I just want to give encouragement to the group because you had a few wake-ups this morning, didn't you, Darren?
Yes.
And in the 60s, I went to see a group. It was a concert, and they didn't do very well, and they kept getting it wrong, and they kept missing a chord. But they did all right. They were called the Beatles. I don't know how they went out after that, but I did see them at Hanley, and they did all right. So don't worry, guys, carry on. I'm just thinking about Liz and Harold's son and how much they had to trust God with his life and where he is now. And so I want to talk about trust today, and I want to start off with a Christian pastor. On the first Sunday in his new church, said to the congregation, "My vision for us is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible." And I think that's what we need to do, because trust plays a massive part in everyday life. And our challenge as Christians is to bring God's trust into our circumstances in each day. And that's not easy. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Psalm 28 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped." Trust is a valued quality, and I think it's often lacking in this world. So we have to learn to trust God in every circumstance and in every area of our lives. And the Bible, right through the Bible, we're encouraged all the time to trust God. But we do need to learn to understand what that means. I believe through learning to trust God, to open ourselves to receive his best in every part of our lives, is this: when we trust, it gives us hope. And that hope is believing that someone greater than ourselves is on our side. And that's just the start. What a good start. That someone greater than ourselves is on our side. Because I believe trust can redirect our thinking from negative to positive. Now let me tell you something you already know, but need to discover time and time again. There is no worry in trust in God. God whispers to us in this trust that he is a safe place for us to go to with our thoughts, with our circumstances, that our lives are in his hands, that he will work out for us the things that are best. And if we're honest, it's a huge test of faith in difficult times. And in our human relationships, we'd like to think that people would want the best for us and we would want the best for them. And that's not always true, is it? Yet in God, Psalm 84, it says, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk along his path." He will hold nothing back from us. So when God says we need to be patient, it's because either it's not the answer you need at the time, or he has something better in mind. And we don't always want to hear that, do we? I read on the front of a diary the other day, it said, "Please today," in our prayers. Maybe tomorrow, but better today. And that's how we want God to answer us. Why should we believe that God wants the best for us? Well, God has given his spirit to remind us how he feels about us. Hebrews 4 reminds us we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. It says, "Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him." This is a God we place our trust in. Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence. Trust tells us that God will take care of us and help us. Unfortunately, our feelings tell us different, don't they? Because feelings take over. Our feelings are our opinion of a situation. Yeah? The illustration is a bit like standing outside the bars of a cage at the zoo with a dangerous animal inside. And we know it can't reach us. We know it's safe. We might feel a bit uncomfortable, but we're okay. And yet when this animal moves to our side of the cage, we step back because we have doubt. But we do because we're human. We can feel uncomfortable in our circumstances even when God says, trust me. We have a bit of doubt. And I don't think God is bothered about that. Because as long as we're sharing with him and talking to him, he understands the doubt because of our human weaknesses. Psalm 55 says, give your burdens to the Lord. He'll carry them. He'll not permit the godly to slip or fall. How does he do that? Well, he keeps telling us one day at a time. But that's difficult, isn't it? Because some days, it's like 3 or 4 days in one if you've got a lot of problems. But our Heavenly Father wants to give each day to him. Because for most of the days, it's too big for us. Someone wrote this idea about this. He said, in life, sometimes I just want someone to hug me and say, I know you're struggling. Sit down. Here's a cup of coffee and a piece of cake and a cheque for £1 million. But obviously it would be the coffee that made the difference. Many times in our lives we get tormented by the what ifs, don't we? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I'm not listening to God? What if I get it wrong? Whatever it is, we have to believe that God is right there in the center of our what ifs. And living by faith isn't easy. If anybody tells you being a Christian is easy, just pray for them because they just don't get it. Pray that they will get it. Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles. And sometimes faith is an instrument of change. At other times, it's a means of survival. It can be as stark as that. It's what gives you the strength to trust God when his will seems to clash with ours. You see, you don't need faith for what you already know or what you've already done. You need it when life makes no sense. When you can't explain when someone dies or you've really prayed about a situation, maybe for years, and nothing's changed. When we pray to God, maybe we think there's only one outcome, the one we want. But the real answer is to trust the character and plan of God. And as I say, we don't always want to hear that. Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where maybe at school and college at work, when somebody's been trying to teach you something and you don't quite get it. Eventually, after a bit of from the other person, they say, do you want me to spell it out for you? Sometimes in a tone. And at that stage, you're thinking, I don't think this person's impressed with me in your mind. But you're thinking, yes, please, explain it again. And this is what God has done in his word. is spelt it out for us. It's there in writing. But we do have help through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, strange it seems, we Christians actually do have within us something of the very thought and mind of Christ. It's an incredible, powerful reading. It's one we are called to believe. We have something of the mind of Christ when we read God's word, when he's teaching us, when he's leading us. And maybe what I'm going to say now is not to be taken serious, but just to give it a little bit of thought. What would it be like for us if one day we could be something more than just the mind of Christ? What would our lives be like if for 24 hours we were to think and act completely like Jesus? Have his priorities. It drove your decision and his love directed your behavior. What would we be like? I mean, would people notice a change in you? Would your family see something different? Would you, the people you work with sense something different? What about those you don't get on with? Would they receive more understanding? How would it affect you personally? About your mood? Your temper? Would you sleep better? Would you view death differently? Here's a big one. What about your attitudes to traffic delays or other drivers? Or when you can't get a parking space? I mean, that's a big one for me, by the way. Ooh, you drivers, I tell you what, you drive me mad. Sorry. What about the people who don't do what you think they should do? Would you still worry about what you're worrying about now? You decide, and I'm deciding. But we don't know, do we? In all these areas, we live with the measure of faith that God has given us for now. But I believe in all these areas I've spoken about, we are being changed. Because what we see in Jesus is what God wants for each one of us. When we give our lives to him, to trust God, to believe that he will change us, it will come to pass, slowly but surely. But for the moment, we're still learning. Someone said there's one nice thing about being imperfect. You know what it is? The joy it gives to other people. But listen now, because this is important. If you think God's love for you would be stronger if your faith and trust were stronger, then you're wrong. Again, if you think his love would be deeper, if your thoughts and actions were better, you'd be wrong again. Because let's not confuse God's love with human love. Human love is fickle. God's love is constant. Human love many times increases with performance and decreases with mistakes. And he loves us as we are, but refuses to leave us how we are because he's got something better. It says in Psalm 56, on God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. Fear, false evidence appearing real. That's the old acronym, isn't it? The guy who was delivering to the farm noticed a sign saying, beware of the dog. He moved on, beware of the dog. And he carried on till he got to the door and there was a little chihuahua there. He said to the farmer, does that dog really set people away? He said, no, but the signs do. Fear roars like a lion, but when you take it to God, it's only a chihuahua. That's a simple statement. Let me put it in a different way. When we take our fears to God, God helps us to put a different perspective on it. And sometimes, that's usually important to us. God will put a different perspective on a situation. Isaiah said, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I never know what God's doing with his other hand, by the way. I don't know, do I? It's always his right hand. The challenge for us every day is to see it as being in a classroom learning about God and his plan for your life. If we choose to, because God has given us a choice. If we choose to. And some days we will choose better, and some days we will choose worse. But God loves us for better or worse, doesn't he? And I know I've used those words before, for better or worse. Yeah? That's when I got my first Port Vale season ticket. Yes. And yes, I've said them before. And I got the better and Judy got the worse. We all know that, don't we? But the relationship Jesus has with the Father is, if you like, a template, a model for us to copy. God's desire for us is to shape us to fit his design for our lives. And for all his challenges, listen to this, for all his challenges, life without an eternal plan is empty. Life with an eternal plan, even if we struggle to grasp it fully each day, is everything we could desire. Life without God is empty. Life with God is complete. We haven't fully grasped all of it yet. I've read this. I don't know if it's true. It says, in ancient European monasteries, monks walked dark corridors with candles on the front of their shoes, giving them just enough light to see the next step. I'm not sure about health and safety, but that's how God works with us. One step at a time. And at times God says, I'm here, what are you doing up there? Come back here. You've gone in front. You won't make it, come back here. You're two steps in front. We have to move from frustration and not having all the answers to patience and trust. When we've got something that is very precious, maybe something rare or expensive, and you don't want it to be stolen or broken or destroyed in some way, maybe we decide to take it to a place of safety. Maybe we've got a safe. Maybe take it to a bank. I don't know. Maybe you take it to somewhere where you think it's going to be secure. And that is sensible, isn't it? You won't be able to look at it, but you've hidden it, you know. But more than that, we need to believe that whatever we trust God with, he will take care of it. And why can we count on it? Because what we send to God in our prayers, what we give to him, is just as important to him as it is to you. Have you ever thought about that when you pray to God with a problem? When you give it to God? That prayer, that concern, is just as important to God as it is to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15. So it says, whatever we entrust with God, he will take care of. And always remember when you pray, this prayer is as valuable to God as it is to you. Just remember that. It's not just words. It's not just kneeling or whatever you do. It's not just getting it out of your head. Not just offloading. It's valuable to God in what you're saying. So what do you need to trust God with today? It's whatever concerns you right now. God our Father says, give it to me, I will keep it in my safety deposit box. It's called my love for you. and I will change you through that love and make you the person I desire you to be. One final reading, 2 Peter chapter 1. It tells us the faith is a gift from God. And within that faith, we have trust. It's a privilege we have as believers in Jesus. It's something that can make life more stable, peaceful, and enjoyable. But trust is a process. It has to be learned, understood, looked at, prayed over, and desired. In the trials and circumstances in our lives. It's something we must never give up on. Let me end with these thoughts. It was from Corrie ten Boom, a famous, well-known Christian and writer. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. When you let go and learn to trust God, it releases joy, peace, and part of God in your life." Let me finish with Corrie's prayer. She said this, "Father God, I trust you to help me learn to trust you." And I believe that's our prayer as well. Amen.